Peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I originally was going to do this by a show of hands, but I'll just let you respond privately. Who here's been in prison? I have. Jesus' fault. Now, it's not what you might think it is. My first call, I had a young man who was involved in a vehicular homicide who was at the Western Pennsylvania State Penitentiary. Jesus puts out all these rules, things we're supposed to do. Feed the hungry, not a problem. Clothe the naked, sure. House the homeless. Heal the sick. Comfort the dying. And then visit those in prison. Think Shawshank, because that's what this place was like. Big stone, old walls, big heavy bars. And if you think it doesn't happen, when you go through the gate to go into the prisoner area and you hear and feel that door close behind you, it'll put your stomach in your toes. Now, Stephen was not what I would consider to be a typical inmate. He was a kid. He was 19 years old. He was scared to death. And he lived in fear the entire time he was there. There was no hardness about him. He just wanted to go home. He had made a stupid choice. It cost somebody a life. And it cost him some time. Jay was the prototypical inmate. Jay was about 5 years older than me. He had a body that looked like it was chiseled out of a rock. He was about 6'3". He had a stare that would stop you in your tracks. And he hardly ever smiled. He was one of those people that would make a horrible enemy. He was a great friend. If you could get Jay to smile, he'd light up the room. Jay and Judy had two kids. And her girl, Lisa, and a boy, Cody. Now, I had a special affinity for Cody because Cody was about a month older than my daughter. And like Emma, they were both towheads, just platinum blonde hair, beyond description. And they were both very curious and adventuresome. And like Emma, Cody loved to just explore the world and did so with a great sense of joy. The one thing that Cody had that Emma didn't have was a brain tumor. And so that day, 2 weeks before Cody's fourth birthday, as I sat on the couch next to Jay, as he held Cody for those last few moments of his life, I knew the question was coming. I knew the question was coming because it was ringing loudly in my brain. It was the same question I had when I sat with Kat and Ken as they watched their six-week-old baby die. It's the same question I had when I was called out early in the morning as an EMT to an unresponsive 8-month-old as I was doing CPR on her, knowing that it was really an act of futility. Why? Why? And as Cody took his last breath, first thing Jay said to me, why? How I want to have an answer to that question. Not some trite, foofy Christian response that we make up to try to make people feel better in a time of need, not some kind of thing where we think we can dive into the mind of God and be able to tell these people exactly why this tragedy is taking place, but I want to know why. And I want to be able to tell people why. And then we have today's gospel lesson. But Jesus can't even tell them why. The reality of our world is the fact that every breath we take is one breath closer to our death. Because we're all dying. We don't know when. And the reality of what takes place in this gospel lesson where Jesus is trying to be instructive to the people who are asking the questions is the fact that it's not about who dies and when they die, but it's about what you do with your life and what you do with the breath that you have. And whether you choose to be the person that God hopes us to be. Fruit bearers. Because we're given then the parable of the tree. And the reality is, are we bearing fruit? Are we doing the things that God would have us do? Are we shaping and forming our lives in a way that if this very moment would happen and a plane would come crashing down and take out this entire congregation, that we could stand before God and God would say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or would God look at us and say, you know, I think you could have done a little bit more. Or really wasted what I gave you. Each and every one of us has been blessed with things within our lives that have been given to us to be able to use, to be able to share, to be able to be blessings to the world as God intended. That little thing that the ELCA has, God's work, our hands, isn't just a cute little saying. It's the reality of who we are as Christians. Called to go forth with what God has blessed us with, to bear fruit, to make a difference, to use what we have to change and save people's lives. I doubt very much we're going to really come up with a good answer to the question, why? But while we ponder that question and while we seek an answer, the reality is that God has blessed us to be able to do what we can to comfort those people who struggle to look for an answer to that very question. That God has blessed us to be able to go out into the world to try to alleviate the problems that exist in terms of what Jesus has called us to do. even if it involves visiting those in prison. And if that's not your cup of tea, you can certainly house the homeless, you can feed the hungry, you can do whatever it takes to put clothes on the back of the naked, you can visit those who happen to be lonely or mourning, who need just a sense of God's presence within their life. You can do all kinds of different things to be a blessing within this world. Bearing fruit, doing those things that God asks you to do. That's right, yes. I love Baptist churches. For you see, the fact remains for all of us that we have these innate gifts that God has blessed us with that can change people's lives forever. Complete strangers are the people who are closest to us. But we have to be the people willing to do what it takes to see that we bear fruit. We need to allow ourselves to have manure placed around us to help us grow a little bit. We need to be able to do those things to place ourselves in positions to do what needs to be done, to understand that when we see a situation, that very well could be God calling us to step in, to make a difference, to do something in that situation for whatever individual we encounter. And when we turn our back on a situation where we find another in need, we well could be turning our back on God. Why do good things happen to bad people? I don't know. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. But the reality is bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to bad people, and good things happen to good people. And it doesn't matter how good or bad you are. We're all due the same ultimate destiny. The difference between the good and the bad isn't whether they live or die. The difference between the good and the bad is the good do the things that God calls them to do. The good shape their lives to see that they might be able to utilize whatever it is they have to make a difference in somebody's life. The good step out of their lives not to worry about what they can get out of something, but what they can give to somebody else. The good live the life that God intended. The good step up to the plate when God calls them and take swings at impossible situations. The good do those things each and every day of their lives because they understand the blessings that are before them. I don't know why Cody died. Not at the age of 4. But I do know, even in that short time, the joy and the love he shared was the blessing that God had placed in his heart to make this world a better place. We have an opportunity to do that and so much more with each and every day and each and every breath. Live your life to bear fruit. Do what you can to do to be a blessing to others, and to listen and to heed the call of God, because there's so much more that you can do. Amen.